Welcome back. Nostalgia is in. Retro sounding Adele tops the charts. Do-it-yourself crafts are all the rage with the under 30 set. Foodies look back fondly at a time before corn syrup and microwave. But artist Judith Klausner is challenging that nostalgia with her new series. It's called From Scratch. Now, you just have to go to hereandnow.org to see some of this work. But if you can't, I'm going to try to describe it. Picture perfect Victorian-style cameo portraits, only they're carved out of the white cream on a black Oreo cookie. Then there's cross-stitching on Czech cereal, elaborate wallpaper designs made out of ketchup and mustard, and bread embroidery. Is that a fried egg embroidered on a piece of toast that I'm looking at? Well, yes, it is. And Judith Klausner joins us in the studio with more. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks very much.
This is astonishing stuff. Again, you have to go to hereandnow.org and see this. But let's just start with the Oreos, just to give a sense of this. Now, it's that time of year. There are state fairs and expositions. It's one thing to carve a cow out of a huge block of butter. But how do you sculpt this thin little layer of cream in an Oreo?
I really like working with very small-scale detail. And so for the cameos with the frosting, I use just a couple of different tools, or three different tools, I guess. For getting sort of the gross outline of things, I use just regular toothpicks, also from the grocery store. And for finer details, things like the eyes, the individual hairs in the hairstyles, I use just straight sewing pins. And then after a little bit of searching, I needed something to be able to get the sort of smoother areas, things like around the eyes and around the mouth. And for that, I use an actual sculpture tool that I have no idea what it's called, but it's basically a tiny ball at the end of a stick.
Astonishing. They look like marble busts, you know, from Greco-Roman era. So that's how you do it. But more important, why do you do this?
I think there's sort of two facets to that. And one is certainly the politics, and the other is the materiality. And like you were saying, it can resemble a marble bust, and this is, you know, sugar. I'm really interested in that. I'm interested in looking at the things around us in a different way. And I think it's wonderful to be able to look closely at something and try to see beauty in it when it's not necessarily something that you would normally look at for its aesthetic qualities. So looking at the beautiful contrast between the white and black in an Oreo cookie, and they actually have those embossed cookies on the top. There's really some nice detail work on that.
Yeah, I've noticed as I've pulled them apart. But where'd the idea come from? I mean, it's one thing to, we're going to talk more about what you're trying to say through the art, but I mean, how did it spring up?
So actually, the entire idea for the series started from a terrible pun in my head. I was, I think, probably in a grocery store and looking at some food in a package that had the Kraft logo on it. Right. And I thought, wow, you know, I wonder if you can do crafts with Kraft. And it really just went from there. So I started by looked up all of the subsidiary companies of Kraft because I was curious what the different products were that they had a hand in making. And it turns out it's pretty much half the world. They have a lot of subsidiary companies that don't have their name directly on them.
Well, so you start working with, for instance, checks. Now, these are the little squares, you know, laid out side to side, and you do cross stitches on them. How is that possible, first of all? Why don't they all just crumble?
The structural integrity of corn is actually pretty good. I use only the corn checks. I did a little bit of experimenting with rice checks and wheat checks. And the rice checks, they puff up too much. There isn't enough room in the holes to actually get a needle through. They're also much more fragile. And the wheat checks are too small. But corn checks have good structural stability.
All right. And so you can cross-stitch on them. And bread. Why bread?
Bread is actually the one that I think is the most fundamentally important to me. Because that's something, you know, I eat bread in almost every meal. And the fact that I don't have to make my bread from scratch, that I don't have to spend those hours every day baking bread, I think contributes a great deal to my ability to spend my time doing things like making art. The fact that I can now just go to the shelf in the grocery store and buy it, and it's, you know, probably won't taste as good, and it probably won't be quite as good for me, but I can choose to spend my time doing something else.
Well, and what are you saying in this work also about the nostalgia that people have for, oh, there was a much better time before food was processed?
I think it's a very dangerous thing, this nostalgia, without being looked at critically. There may have been isolated aspects of parts of the past that were better, but the things that made it possible to have all of our food made from scratch were things like the fact that women weren't allowed to have careers. When you have someone in every household whose dedicated full-time job, whether they like it or not, is to cook everything from scratch, yes, you're going to have everything, you know, made at home. But that means that women didn't have choices, and I think that we're in a much better position now.
Again, From Scratch is the name of this series. And there's also something that you comment on through it, food morality. What do you mean by that?
I think that historically, and continuing into today, really food has been inextricably bound up with morality. From the origins of some of these cereal companies, which was something I did research on when I was doing the cross-stitching, that people like Kellogg, who founded with his brother the Battle Creek Sanitarium, which was basically based around the idea that, among other things, bland, wholesome food was going to help control people's passions. So basically things like cornflakes were supposed to help control people's sexual desires.
You're kidding.
Graham crackers as well. Graham was a student of Kellogg's, and the person who founded Post, who made grape nuts as well. And continuing into now, I think we have, in this both nostalgia and this movement towards trying to focus on local, fresh food, I think that it turns into good and bad. You know, local and fresh is morally good, and packaged food is morally bad. And I think that that really glosses over what's a much more nuanced issue, because it's also, with the way food is produced in this country, really bound up with class. Fresh local food is much more expensive.
Well, and there's all sorts of political reasons why that is. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be more expensive. Yeah.
And ideally, yes, I think that we should work towards having a future where fresh and local food isn't more expensive and everybody can afford it, because yes, it would be better for us to be able to have those things in our diet. But I think right now, having it cast as entirely a moral question really glosses over the issue of class that's really involved.
Food art isn't new. I mean, we all in first grade had our macaroni sculptures on, you know, construction paper. But a couple things. It's a medium that spoils. So all this unbelievable detailed work for a cameo on an Oreo, is that just going to, well, I don't know what they put in Oreos. It'll probably last forever.
It breaks down less than you would think. It's a much more permanent material than I think one would expect it to be.
Refer back to processed food.
The cameos, as long as they're kept fairly climate controlled, the things they don't like are intense heat or humidity. Other than that, they pretty much preserve themselves.
There you go. But I guess, you know, are you also saying, because these are crafts, I mean, you did make crafts out of craft, and, you know, cross-stitching, embroidery, these things that take time, what are you saying about that?
Again, it's historically somewhat bound up with class, but for certain classes, women were also expected to do these sorts of handcraft processes. Being able to embroider well was something that was expected of a wealthy woman, because that was what she was going to do with her time, was, you know, create these decorative pieces for the household. And there was a time and a place where, as a woman, I would be expected to do these things. There's been a wonderful exhibit at the MFA here of colonial girls' embroidery, and this was the education that girls got, how to do needlework. And looking at those, I sort of have this dual reaction to them, because I think, on one hand, I'm really envious that these girls have these incredible needlework skills, because they were doing them from the time that they could hold a needle. It'll take me years to get to the point that these 13-year-olds were. But at the same time, the reason that they were mastering that skill was because they didn't have anything else they could do. They didn't have a choice about whether to do that. And so I think they're sort of parallel choices. I can choose to cook, or I can choose to buy packaged food, and I can choose to spend the time that I save buying the bread to master these needlework skills because I want to.
Right. Artist Judith Klausner, to see some of her pieces from her From Scratch series, go to hereandnow.org. It's awesome. Judith, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got them all.